Contractors hate rejection when they've spent time and money preparing bids. Sometimes they're tempted to go to Congress and complain. Bad idea. Tim Sullivan is a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of the blog Government Contractors' Ten Commandments. Today he tackles number 6, Thou Shalt Avoid Political Intervention. Companies who try to get their congressmen involved may find that move will come back to bite them.
Government employees really don't forget the companies that sic a congressman or a senator on them, and it's a miserable experience for everybody, and it stops everything they're doing. They have to drop everything and pay attention to this and get it done, and they just don't forget it real soon. And the real issue, as you know so well, is that even a GS-9 or a GS-11 has a lot of power, because they can decide simply when to turn the faucet off on a particular company and without telling anybody, and just delaying decisions and putting things on the back burner for them, and the claims that might be pending or requests for equitable adjustment. So trying to doing something that's going to anger the people that are your customers is not a smart thing in the first place.
And there's another more fundamental question, isn't there? And that is that members of Congress don't have acquisition authority. They're not procurement people.
Well, no, they're not. In fact, they're usually an entirely separate branch of the government. And when I say usually, Tom, most government agencies that we think about in terms of government contracts are in the executive branch. Obviously, that's not the legislative branch. But the legislative branch has offices that procure things, too, like the Library of Congress and Congress itself. So they do purchasing over there. But let's say you're in the executive branch, whether you're in a civilian agency like the GSA or you're at the Navy, getting a call from a congressman's office is not the best thing that happens to you on a particular day. And for a variety of reasons, it's not. And a call is one thing. These congressionals, as we talk about them in this particular commandment, are another. The written requests from the senator or the congressman sent over to the Office of the Legislative Liaison or to the Secretary of the Navy, and then trickling on down to your desk so you have to respond to it. Those are nerve-wracking things to go through.
Now, when there's a really big multi-year acquisition, like, say, a fighter jet or something like that, that's multiple billions of dollars or any kind of a military platform, those are deliberately spread about by the contractor so that the construction takes place in as many congressional districts as possible to buy protection. That's a little different level of situation.
Big, but you put your finger on the very issue, which is jobs. And you remember very well the fight for the new long-range tanker the Air Force had several years ago, where it was Boeing on the one side and Northrop and Airbus on the other. And I don't know how many jobs the state of Alabama thought it was going to get on from that. I think it was 10,000, because I think Airbus had said if they got the contract, they were not only going to build the tanker there, they were going to bring over their commercial production. So, yeah, you can get the attention of every senator and every congressman whose districts are going to get jobs out of these things. Absolutely. But most small and medium-sized businesses don't have that impact, for example. In fact, a lot of these service contractors, if you think about it, might have an office in Atlanta, but all their employees are spread out at installations around the country. And so making a pitch to an Atlanta, the congressperson from the Atlanta area or the senators from Georgia may not get their attention at all, because you've got an office with 5 people in it in Georgia. So there's all kinds of issues that pop up here, but you put your finger on it. Jobs are the number one thing. And if you've got an issue that either means the potential for a lot of new jobs or the potential that a lot of jobs will be lost, you can generally get their attention.
And getting back to the contracting issues, though, you in your blog give a really poignant example of what got your mind sensitized to this idea of what you call congressionals, where this kind of fire drill that happens when something comes in from Congress.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, it was a long time ago during the Vietnam War, but we had a very concerned mother. What was happening, Tom, was, and you'll recall this, was that there was a lot of morale. The morale was very low among the troops in Vietnam for a variety of reasons. And they came up with this, Vietnam wasn't the first time, apparently, but we had incidents where these enlisted people would roll live grenades into an officer's tent. It's called fragging. And hundreds of officers died because of this. And in my office, my Army office, we reported to the Pentagon. We weren't in the Pentagon. We got this. We got several. Well, this mom of a very concerned, this very concerned mom of a young Army officer wrote the president, the vice president, both senators, and her congressman, expressing concerns for her son's safety. And you can imagine how a mother could write a letter like that. And we had to respond to every single one of them in our Army office. And I think we spent 2 weeks probably dealing with nothing but this concerned mother and rewriting these letters so the generals were happy with them or the secretaries happy with them. Well, I'll never forget her name. And this is 45 years later.
All right. Well, that's a tough example. I hadn't heard about the fragging or hadn't remembered it in many, many years, but it sounds like a pretty serious situation.
It was very serious.
We're speaking with Tim Sullivan. He's a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of The Ten Commandments for Federal Contractors. And so is there ever any circumstance when maybe you should go to Congress? Does that ever come up?
It does. I mean, it would be the dire circumstances where you've tried everything reasonable within your means and you've got no other options. I mean, then I think you may have to go there. As I point out in this particular commandment, viewing a congressman or a congresswoman or a senator as your person in Washington is—it's not like your lawyer's there representing you. They represent a lot of different interests from your state and your area, and they might help you once, but if you're there every week with a new demand, pretty soon they're going to turn a deaf ear on you. But of course, if it's a really desperate situation, and over the years there have been some crazy situations where senators and congressmen were absolutely delighted to jump in because of a situation where a contractor's been hurt through no fault of his own. They'll do that. It gets good headlines on a Saturday morning, for example, the local papers, and they will do that. But those are rare in my experience. If you're going to go over to the Hill, if your best idea, you've given it every shot at the executive branch of the contracting process and it's not working, you can go to the Hill. But a couple of points. Number one, if you're already involved in either a protest or a litigation over a claim and you go to the Hill to get some help, you're going to get they're going to shut you down. They just aren't going to dabble when something is in litigation. That's basically a rule over there. Now, there's an exception to every rule, but you're generally wasting your time. Because what's going to happen is if the congressman reaches out to the Army or the Navy, they're going to get a polite response. This is in litigation, Mr. Senator. This is in litigation, Congressman. And that's all that's going to happen. It's going to be done. That's as far as you're going to get. So if you're in that situation, going to the Hill is a waste of time, in my experience. Secondly, if you're going to go over there, you got to go to the right people. If you are going over on an Army or a Navy or a Marine issue, you want a congressman or a senator who sits on the right committees, defense appropriations, defense, whatever it might be. But to get just because you have a local senator doesn't mean that he or she is on the right committees. And that all leads to actually consulting with someone who understands the Hill. I'm not one of those people. I stay away from it as much as I can. But there are plenty of people in Washington who do understand it and can guide you to the right people and how to do things.
So tempting as it may be, and you lose a contract or you don't like a contracting officer or whatever it is, resist that temptation and just go back another day.
Right. I think you burn too many fences when you sit Congress on your contracting agency. Unless it's really an egregious situation, you're probably better off to either bite your tongue and sharpen your pencil or do what you have to do to have a better shot the next time around. But spending money and wasting time trying to get the congressional side to help you, I think is going to usually be a waste of time for you and may even damage your relationship with your customer or potential customer.